B-Pod Studios.
Let's do something crazy, crazy, crazy.
Toucher.
We're going to need Advil for breakfast.
Rich.
First half hour, don't go to the bathroom because you have no idea what the hell's going on.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. And Rich,
All I can say, Fred, is that you know our listeners are the best because you know when they see something that they know is right up our alley, they will send us a link or a news story. And there were two over the past 24 hours that we've got like a million, like tons of people reaching out saying this must be researched. The first one, Fred, is, I'm sure, because of you and your fondness for this person, is the video of James Corden filming his carpool karaoke, yes, which is indeed apparently a sham. They are not driving the car.
We were sent that, 2 days ago.
Yep, him and Justin Bieber, and instead of him actually driving the car is being towed behind a car that is filming them the entire time.
And I don't know who the genius was that said, let's take a singer and have them sing a song. But in a car. And for all of you who have supported that piece of human sludge, congratulations. Congratulations. Are you that delighted? Is it that great? Justin Bieber sings for a living. He sings on records. He sings on YouTube. He sings live. Mm-hmm. He sings on television.
But he's in a car this time.
But he's in a car. And yep. I don't know what about that satisfies you people. It makes you think that it isn't at all funny. I don't get why it's funny. It seems miserable. And you know how many times they probably have to shoot it? And Corden's like,
Dave Grohl ended up, you know, because the Foo Fighters did carpool karaoke. And he said that, you know, he started ripping on it because it took like 4 hours to record something. It ended up being like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And he would have us do these takes over and over again. I'm just like, man, come on. Can we just move on?
Yeah. And Corden's just in there.
The theater.
So there was that story, which we got said so much. And then there was this one. And this one, which, you know, we've discussed a similar situation that happened in Brookline, but now maybe we found the culprit. Would you like to let the story? This happened right in John Wallach's part of the
It happened right where the fast food restaurants are allowed to open.
No, if this is the story, let it roll. I'll tell you where this is. This is not far from my house, actually.
Well, what it is it's a... I mean, if you meet this lady, introduce me.
Police say that woman apparently had to use the restroom, but instead of just finding a public one, they say she pulled into this parking lot and did what she had to do. All the while, those cameras outside this store were rolling.
She did what she had to do.
This is right next to the commuter rail, like within 50 yards of it.
Yeah.
It's this parking lot.
What's wrong? Hey, baby, we ain't nothing but animals.
I mean... She did this like 12, 13 times.
Constantly, yes.
Yeah, she marked the territory. She enjoyed it the first time. Let's go back. I mean, so what?
And did what she had to do, all the while those cameras outside this store were rolling.
Second spot.
Henry Canner installed these surveillance cameras outside his Natick outdoor store to catch shoplifters, but he ended up catching this woman defecating in his parking lot.
All right, if you own an outdoor store, aren't you kind of inviting people to defecate?
Sure. Ever gone camping before?
Yeah, like if you're like into the woods guy. No. I mean, we're not half-ass camping in some RV.
Sure.
I mean, we're out there. She go to a camping store. You go, all right, I want to see. Let's try this out.
Let's get in a camping mood. It's a primer.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, you go, what are you, not an outdoorsman now? Everything has to be inside? Poser. I ain't shopping at your place. This guy should be taking dumps outside.
The owner. Just, set a good example
He'd
for the employees.
Like, he should be selling you a tent and then go like...
I got it.
He should be selling you a tent and then be like, oh, excuse me, I have to use the restroom and go outside and take a dump. Because that's how outdoor... It'd be like Tim Allen. Woof, 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 woof. A fly rod and, you know, excuse me, I have to defecate.
But he ended up catching this woman defecating in his parking lot, and not just once or twice.
And then it
happened.
Look at that, you're man. And then it got too hot for TV.
And then it happened again. And then it happened.
Yes. Then it happened again.
And then it happened again.
I mean, this is like...
What does the guy from the Canadians have to say?
Oh, my.
Michelle Therrien. Michelle Therrien.
Michelle Therrien, of course. Sir, what do you have to say about all of this?
Crap.
This is the evil villain. What do you want? You have all your missiles pointed at Capital City. What is it that you want?
Crap. And then it happened again. And then it happened again.
He says it happened at least 9 times over 3 months, starting the day before Halloween.
We saw a pile of human excrement with a little bit of toilet paper on top of it on our parking lot.
This surveillance video shows a Lincoln SUV pull up just before 7 o'clock.
A Lincoln SUV?
Or a stinking SUV.
It's Matthew McConaughey.
That's what he's thinking about when he's biting his finger in those ass.
I
can't wait to take a big old dump. That would be the new commercial. Like, what a twist that would be. He leaves that place where he looks like he just kind of hooked up with that guy he's playing pool with. And then he leaves. He's biting his finger, thinking about it. Pulls off to the side of the road right in front of a Dick's Sporting Good and just goes, boom.
By the way, that's like a $65,000 car. Like, a Lincoln SUV is not a cheap vehicle.
Right.
Crap.
That's what I desire. All right, yeah. Matthew McConaughey comes out. He's like, and all of a sudden he gets this look on his face, and then he turns into the spot, and there you go.
With a little bit of toilet paper on top of it on our parking lot.
This surveillance video shows a Lincoln SUV pull up just before 7 o'clock. You see a woman get out, squat for about 20 seconds, get up, and then drive off. An officer pulled over Andrea Grosser around the corner just moments later. Grosser. That's when investigators say she apologized and told the officer that she takes the laxative Miralax and suffers from irritable bowel syndrome.
Why would you take a laxative if you got IBS?
Don't know.
That seems to
that
be...
would exacerbate the problem,
yeah,
I think. Yes.
Right.
That would be...
That'd be like eating like pasta from hell if you have, you know, a hiatal hernia.
Yeah, I don't think it would make things better. I don't really know.
No, why would I take Miralax if I have irritable bowel syndrome? If anything, right. Listen, IBS sucks, but
You're fighting Rhea with Rhea.
Yeah, I mean, it don't add up. It don't add up.
A girl had diarrhea and went all over herself.
Did you ever see the It's Always Funny, Sunny in Philadelphia? And it was called Who Pooped in the Bed? And they take the piece of crap to this lab, and this guy's like, I'll look at it. And then he's looking at it under like a microscope. And they're like, so what do you think? And he goes, I don't know. I'm not a doctor.
This one was done at like, it was like 13, 14 times. And it was always at the same time of day. It was like 6:50 in the morning. And apparently it was before she went to her job as a nanny.
All right.
And it's like, why would you not go to the Dunkin' Donuts? It's like right next door.
Because it's not as freeing. All right, Nick, you know, you're claiming allegedly to know this woman.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
So it's the nanny to my wife's friend's kids, and she was arrested right outside of her house after it happened.
No,
and apparently she had been the nanny for like 5 years. Oh. And I keep hearing my wife on the phone last night with her friend saying, well, were there any red flags? Did you have any idea that she was doing this?
But for all other purposes, she was perfectly fine. There was no trouble.
Yep, they said she was a good employee for 5 years, but there were no hints that she was a secret pooper.
Well, they're not going to fire her just for this mild indiscretion, are they?
Dude, I don't know if I want this person watching my kids.
Well, how would it manifest itself? What clues would she leave
behind? If you don't have the judgment to not take a dump in the middle of a parking lot.
Oh, please. Oh, what? Oh, let's throw them all in jail.
I kind of feel bad for her because she obviously has some sort of thing that she has to do that. It's like, I don't know what kind
It's called common sense. So are they going to fire her, sir, or are they going to cave?
I believe this is, I think being a serial pooper is not something that qualifies you to raise.
Oh, what, because the people at the country club won't like it? The corporate folk aren't going to dig the lady who craps outside? All right.
And you got to look at her mugshot if you haven't seen it.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it.
I actually feel kind of bad. Wow. I saw the mugshot, and I was just like, she just can't help it.
What did you think?
Like, it looks like she's committing the crime while the mugshot is being taken.
Perhaps she's suffering from a very serious ailment.
Maybe.
And then it happened again. And then it happened again.
All right, so you're thinking they're going to let this woman go.
Yeah, they're going to fire her. And just by the way, Fred, that episode of Sunny, Artemis does an all-time performance.
How do you pronounce her name again?
Artemis.
Artemis does, yes, when she breaks it all down. Yes, it's always in Sunny in Philadelphia, Who Pooped the Bed is a all-time classic of television.
And then it happened again.
Everyone got a kick out of it. This lady's going to lose her job?
I mean,
five years of service, and then this mild a mild misdemeanor? This woman should have to, what's she going to do now? Are you going to throw her on the street?
I don't know. If I was like the person who hired her, I would just all of a sudden have these usual suspect moments of all the times that I shook her hand and she showed up to work. All the times that I saw her preparing my kids' lunches as soon as she arrived.
So, they never got sick.
And I would just be thinking the whole time, oh no.
Crap. Yeah, you're one of these three strike guys. You're all about the privatization of prisons. Throw them all in jail, you say.
And then it happened again. And then it happened again.
Just all the time she grabbed my baby from me and just like,
oh, what's the baby face. Here? The baby's filled with garbage anyway.
Open the door handle.
Doesn't mean she's not clean. They find toilet paper in one of them.
Maybe.
Doesn't mean she's not clean.
I just like she travels with toilet paper.
Yeah, well.
That's a good point.
Well,
she has the role.
So what?
In the front seat.
She's going to fire the poor woman. How many times did it happen, sir?
And then it happened again. And then it happened again.
I haven't seen the news report. Has he got like a sly smile on his face?
Yeah, he's like, again, again. And I watched it again and again.
We had that video and I sold it overseas.
And I locked the door and watched it again.
Well, I think everyone here is taking this way out of hand. I thank the gentleman for calling in, but if we could start some sort of rally to get this woman to keep her job, 5 years of service. Well, that explains the Lincoln. Like, this woman's driving a $65,000-$70,000 car. This shouldn't be happening.
Is there anybody listening who needs to do that?
All right, stop. All right.
is this a thing?
All right. Nick has a good idea. Let's start a GoFundMe.
For what?
This woman's out of a job.
Is she? We don't know that.
But the guy just called in and said that they were going to fire her.
I got no problem with that.
Started GoFundMe.
Somebody said Mary Poopins. Why, nobody hasn't used that headline yet.
Well, we're not in New York.
We're not in New York. Didn't have a chance at it.
We should start a GoFundMe. Why is this woman should suffer? You know, there's an unemployment problem in this country, and you all are complicit in it.
I feel awful.
A misdemeanor. Oh, fire. Throw her in jail. Throw the book at her.
Hang on. Come on. I'm sorry. We got to take line two.
All right. This is Marconi. Steve, go ahead.
Good morning, guys. Love of your show. I run a plant that we had a similar situation in. It actually was in New Jersey, and we called him the Mad Pooper, and he did it for like 3 years, and finally we caught him. We'd find you know, defecation in various locations of the plant. And, you know, it was a challenge. We had so many contractors. We finally figured it out. And yes, we did release the contractor from the vendor from his contract.
How did you find him? Like, what was the moment when you caught him brown-handed?
Well, it was one of the guys going around doing rounds. Thought he saw someone squatting in the corner.
Did he give like a finger, like wave, like?
Well, he did a double take and then was like, wait a minute.
And then spit take.
He went, that's right. Spit the coffee out he was drinking.
Yeah, he
was like Mr. Furley when he walked in on Jack.
Oh, boy.
He had a poop-eating grin on his face.
Yeah, right, of course.
I mean, it was like, of course.
But the man just wants to be caught. I mean, come on.
We put in this red-handed. We had this eating with the vendor. That was the hilarious part. We basically sat him down and said, tried to figure out, like, psychologically, what was driving you to do.
Oh yeah, you can't just let him. Yeah, you got to have a conversation with the guy. I mean, you can't just sit there and let it go.
He turned the corner. Oh no!
Oh, the guy's not upset that happened.
And the guy. Then it happened again. And then it happened again.
We shouldn't make a wait. Dan Soder, very talented stand-up comedian. Is going to be joining us. He will join us right after this.
And then it happened again. And then it happened again.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Hey. This is where Boston talks sports. Thatcher and Rich. Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich Dan Soder is performing two shows tonight and tomorrow at Laugh Boston, located in the Westin Waterfront Hotel in the Seaport. For tickets and more information, visit laughboston.com. Dan's stand-up special, Son of Gary, is good. It's available now on HBO. Dan, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so this woman just got arrested, like, in the suburbs for taking a dump, like, several times in this guy's...
Several times. Over a dozen times in the same time of the morning at, like, 6:50.
She's regular.
Yeah. Well, the thing is she claims to have IBS.
Okay.
And she has been caught on camera. Now, a gentleman called in and said that his wife was friends with the woman who employed the poop lady as a nanny.
Okay.
And I am under the understanding that they're to fire the nanny over this incident.
Sure.
A misdemeanor. 5 years of service. If this is the nanny, they live in your home.
Yeah.
You've developed a relationship with them. Do they deserve to be fired?
I believe the first question would be, what was the wiping technique?
Okay.
She traveled with toilet paper.
She traveled apparently. With toilet paper.
Your job is safe, miss.
Yes.
Your job is safe.
I mean, in this society.
If there was no wiping, I'd be like, you're a dog and you have to live on the streets.
Right.
But I mean, she was well prepared.
Yeah.
Don't you want that in a nanny?
I think that shows your child to prepare yourself. To show consistency, to show a lack of fear in order to accomplish things.
Yeah, and she did it out in front of a outdoor store. And so I call the owner of the store a hypocrite. I mean, this is a lifestyle that you're trying to sell people.
How are you not selling tents? How is there not a camping gear special? I think she should be the new spokesperson for REI.
She really should be.
Get her in a store. Teach people how to poop outside.
Like, I live the life. I'm no poser.
I think this woman is a hero.
It's urban camping.
I honestly, as a man that locks up anytime another man stands next to me at a urinal, I think this woman should go to high schools and give talks.
You lock up if you're just standing next to another guy at a urinal.
Dude, if I haven't started peeing and someone walks in and stands next to me, it is Drysville for this guy.
Okay, then you're going to hate this bathroom. The reason is
I won't go.
There's two urinals.
I'm a stall boy.
Well, there's two urinals, and there's no divider between the two.
Nope.
So you will never go and stand there, even if
or I'm going to oddly box you out.
You got to box him out.
I don't know. I'll go full. I'm going to go, and it's not. I said full box out. What I mean is like, as a free throw is leaving the hands box out.
Sure,
I get over the line, but I'm leaning to be like I'm about to box.
There's a point in that bathroom where I'm just like someone's going to see my penis.
Yeah. And pee penis. Is the worst penis of them all. Well, you know, being on drugs, penis is the worst penis. Because it's just like compact.
Yes. It's a retro.
Yeah.
It's a retro erection.
A pee penis is a groggy penis. It's not a good one. It's not, you know. But as my radio partner, Big J, would say, it's not a heavy hang.
Yes. We have Big J in not 2 weeks. Long
yeah, yeah. I know. Yeah. He told me he had a great time. And I'm excited.
But the thing with these urinals, too, is that something I've even had to check myself. Because, I mean, I'm one of these people that is constantly, if I have any kind of downtime, when I mean downtime, I mean being in an elevator, I mean walking, my hand is on my phone getting ready to pull it out. So when I go to the bathroom, there's this tendency that even if I'm going number one, you got one thing in the other hand and the phone in that one. And I've had to check myself from doing that because there was a time where a guy came walking in and it literally looks like I'm aiming it right at his penis.
Look at that.
Like, how does he know I'm actually looking at my phone and not videotaping?
You can't look at your phone. In all seriousness, I would say something.
Well, I've stopped. I mean, it's one of those things that...
I did it for a while.
You can't do it.
I did it for a while. When I would pee at Sirius, just like on a commercial break, it was always to check social media.
No, I understand that.
So I had deleted social media, and the phone disappeared out of my hand.
Should check your phone at every bathroom door.
Yeah,
because like if you're in a locker room and someone's on the phone, that's not cool. You shouldn't be able to do that.
And that happens all the time. Like if you go to a gym, there's always and it always freaks me out. There'll be a guy just sitting there, like on the little bench while everyone's getting changed, and I don't know if he's looking at his phone or if he's filming.
It's tantamount to, and I'm being dead serious. It's like if you had, it's like say I had a digital camera and I was just scrolling through pictures.
Yeah.
I mean that's the same thing.
Well, it is.
Or if you had an old school like camera, you're just walking around. You're like, I'm not recording weirdos. And you're like, I don't know what it's aimed at. Like, I just carry around a camcorder. Just have good camcorder hands.
So it's pure. Now, are you somebody who? Because Fred will not go to the bathroom here. He has to wait to go home.
Like Nick goes downstairs. No. That's not true. Nick, by the way, has to pee downstairs, which is sociopath.
You will not. But you will not go number two at like a public bathroom, right?
I will downstairs before the hour of 7:30 because I'm likely if. And if someone comes in...
Yeah, then the salespeople get here and you have no chance.
Here's what salespeople... Here's the difference between jobs. Like, when we get here, you got to go on at 6 in the morning. And you have a radio show. So you got to get... And you're on here.
Yeah.
Salespeople get here, and here's what they do. Is that they get here, they put their crap down, they go take a dump. They go walk around and talk to everyone. Yeah. They make coffee. Some of them take showers. I mean, like, the day doesn't... And then they go out to lunch.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's their whole experience. This is like a home to them.
Yeah.
They're like animals.
They're always constantly nesting here.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Like, it's just everything is... It's everything that you would do at home. They're just lounging around.
Yeah. Having a soak. I get that. There's certain bathrooms... One of the best parts is the Comedy Cellar also has the Comedy Cellar at the Village Underground, and that is the best bathroom for pooping in New York City.
What makes it great?
It's individual cleaned toilets, but they're rooms. So you shut the door and you're just in a room with a fan.
Oh, nice. I love the rooms.
I mean, very nice. Closed room.
Oh, yeah, those are great.
And there's a bathroom attendant. And so because I'm, you know, I could just walk
there's
in.
There's a bathroom attendant?
Yeah, during the shows.
Oh, wow.
So most of the time, you know, it's not open during the day, but at night if you have to poop. I've been in the West Village, and I've been like, yes, this is the best part of being past the Comedy Cellar. It's not to talk to Dave Attell and Colin Quinn. It's to have a nice, good place to poop, whatever I need to.
The best is when you feel like you've struck gold when you walk into one of the bathrooms that has, like, its own sink and everything in it. You're like, oh, one-stop shopping.
What a life.
Well,
I was at the NFC Championship game, and there I was tailgating with Al Madrigal in the parking lot. And there, one of the porta potties was one of the wide ones.
Yeah.
And I was like, we really struck gold, John.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even the porta potty, I was like, I think I could poop in this porta potty need be.
You were at the NFC Championship game this year?
Yeah. I
see the 49ers hat. Yeah.
A lifelong Niner fan and, bang, bang, Niner gang.
Yeah.
But yeah, I went to both the Vikings game and the Packers.
Are you a big, I take it you think Garoppolo's the next hunk of the NFL? This guy has got.
Is the next hunk of the NFL? He's here, dude. He's here. He's got that stubble. I mean, come get some.
What did you think?
The kissy train, the belly kissy train has left the station.
Look at them.
Brumsky.
Yes, you could do your. You could do washing on those abs.
Stop.
Do your wash.
Bridge.
There you go. Let's experiment. All right, so what's the name of tight end? The
George Kittle.
George Kittle.
That's my man. It's a close personal friend, George
Kittle.
Is he really?
I won't make fun of him.
He DM'd on Twitter, and so I have a joke with my girlfriend that he's my close personal friend.
Okay. No. The big tight end. The guy from Kansas City.
What's you're talking about Kelsey.
Kelsey.
Yeah.
Did you hear what he said after the game?
No.
He goes like, and I learned something. You have to fight for your right to party. He's like, eh.
No.
He's like, that's like
what do you even think that means?
He's like a B-list Gronk, like a wannabe. As I was saying, he's like the Hydrox cookies to Gronk's Oreos.
There's nothing worse in the NFL than someone forcing personality where you're like, stop.
Yeah.
Stop. Like, one of my favorite things, like Clinton Portis being a weirdo and dressing up as different characters.
Yeah.
Like, you're a genuine weirdo.
Yeah.
And I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like when you would look over in school and see another kid picking glue off his hand. And you're like, me and you we're in the same ilk. And I think, like, Kelsey, that seemed so forced.
Oh, yeah.
And kind of like, am I right, kids? We don't call it Friday. We call it Fry-yay. And you're like, shut up. Shut up with your stepdad humor. And then meanwhile, our boy George Kittle is the real deal. He's just a fun dude.
Yeah.
He quotes wrestlers. He's just like out of his head. He just like seeks contact on the field. Love him.
Yeah, do the Macho Man.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a guy here that does the Macho Man and found himself on a Czarface rap record.
Yeah, because they heard him do it on the radio, and they're like, I need
that
this.
That is indisputed. Yeah, I'm talking about the number one Macho Man of all time. Yeah.
That's really good.
That's good.
I was on.
I heard that guy. That guy is a great Macho Man. Someone sent that to me.
It's hacky. He stole it from you. Oh. So,
I didn't say that.
I was on a plane with a Macho Man one time. I was flying back from Jacksonville to Atlanta. And Macho Man was in first class, and it was like at 9 in the morning.
Yeah.
And like, he's sweating like so bad. Like, you can tell, like, it just
nonstop.
every chemical's in his system.
Yeah. And what year is this?
I was in Atlanta.
2000, maybe?
Let's say like between 2000 and 2004.
So that's my question. So you got Spider-Man Bonesaw. You got Macho Man and Spider-Man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Jacked on HGH.
Yeah.
And I forgot that's right. He was in Spider-Man.
That's right. I just actually saw Spider-Man for the first time. And so, like, you know how you get on a plane and it's early in the morning? Like, I don't begrudge you having a drink. No one likes flying. But by the time we got on the plane, he was in first class. He had like 5 Amstels in front of him.
Yes.
Like just 5, like before we boarded.
And, yeah, and he's no Andre the Giant.
But you know he only got those because he's the Macho Man. Like if you ask like a stewardess, like, hey, can I have 5 beers?
Also, try wearing a multicolored bandana and sunglasses.
He had sunglasses on.
And also getting those Amstels. If I showed up with a do-rag on and crazy wraparound sunglasses and I was like, hey, can I get a shot of Jack? They'd be like, we're not serving you. You're overserved already, clearly from your outfit.
Right, you're on other
chemicals. If you're all sweaty, dude, if you're all sweaty and you try to get alcohol on a plane, they're like, sir, you're on methamphetamines. I can't.
Well, it was Jacksonville, so I mean, you got it.
That's how you function there.
Yeah, 90% of the flight was sweating.
Yeah, I met him. I worked at a radio station in Tucson at this alternative rock station, and I went in to go pick up my paycheck on like a Thursday. And my program director was like, you should go into the production studio. And I was like, why should I go in the production studio? I was like, just go knock on the door of the production studio and go in. And I was like, all right. And I'm like, I knock on the door. And you know those doors are heavy as hell.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm like knocking, and I don't hear anything. And I kind of push it open, and I hear like, you're listening to 92.1 and 101.3 KFMA. And I'm like, oh, my, no way. And I open it, and he's like cutting it with his hand up. This is Tucson's new rock. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I turn around, and he like has his sunglasses on. And he turns around, and they're like, oh, my friend Rick. He's like, hey, Macho Man, this is Dan Soder. And I just remember him taking his glasses off and how sunken his eyes were into his head. And he was, I just remember it was like his super tan skin. I remember it was like, it's super tan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the nicest guy in the world. It was awesome.
So
was,
we lived in Atlanta during the big WCW explosion. And all of those guys came to the station because one of the guys who worked there like was one of the announcers. Yeah. So and he would go on tour and do stuff. And he would miss like every other Monday or whatever to do the show. So we had, oh my God, Scott's Big Papa Pump.
I was just going to say Scott Steiner.
Scott Steiner was there.
You guys got to see Scott Steiner at the glory of his steroid use.
That was the height of steroid use in the WWE.
Gross. Like, okay.
Paper bags. Buff Bagwell.
Buff Bagwell's funny.
Shout out. He's a gigolo now.
I know.
All right, so there was this celebrity softball game, and Buff Bagwell's there, and he's just like orange. But then Goldberg comes in.
Yeah.
By the way, Goldberg took my wife out one before I was dating her on a date, and she didn't hook up with him because he had a pickup truck.
Really?
Yeah.
So he was 101-1. She was his first loss.
I swear to God, because she's like Jewish. They're like, there's a nice Jewish guy that wants to meet you. And she said he was really nice.
William Goldberg would love to take you out for a very sensible dinner.
I think that's kind of the way that she thought it was going to go. But and then he sent her flowers the next day.
Oh.
But so Goldberg.
I mean, speared her through a truck. Yeah, he took her out, but you know, whatever.
Right, yeah, he was very aggressive. And so, but she's a fighter.
Yeah.
So we were at this celebrity softball game, and we had brought beer. And Goldberg goes, can I have a beer? And we're like, yeah. He's still the biggest guy I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like muscles. He goes, cool. He takes it. He takes two pills that I'm telling you are the size of a roll of, like a roll of quarters.
Yeah.
And he takes two of them, boom, and just swallows the beer and just throws it. I'm like, what are you guys doing?
That's got to be awesome.
Yeah.
That's got to be awesome. Like watching a rubber band get slapped on the nuts of a bull. This guy's about to go crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm like, is that a calm pill or an angry pill? I'm just so worried. just hypothetically, what fuel are you on?
Exactly.
He's like, you guys are going to want to clear out.
You are on some narcotic.
I'm about to hit this softball to Savannah. It's just like, ting.
All right, let's hang out. Can you hang out for a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's hang out with Dan some more. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Dan Soder. All right, so you're at Laugh Boston. Two shows tonight and tomorrow, and they've added show on Sunday?
Yeah, only show with tickets available is Sunday. Everything else sold out.
Okay.
Boom. Thank you, Boston. Thank you, Boston.
Look at that. Next time it's going to be the Wilbur, my friend.
I hope so. But Laugh Boston's been awesome to me, and it's been great to watch that club, you know, work in that club. Like half full,
yeah,
a third full,
right?
Finally sell tickets, and you're like, all right, time to leave you guys. clubs are like, ah, man, we built something. You're like, we did, and I'll be going to the Wilbur.
That's like we've had Gary Goldman on because
one of the greatest of all time.
Yeah, we've had him on like for years, and then then he comes out with the Great Depression.
Yeah.
You know, he's selling out like
after love it.
Nine nights at the Wilbur or something.
Did he really? That's
it's like something crazy.
Yeah. I love that.
And so, like, he came in and like we're like on the extras of his special and stuff because he came in here. We did the Wilbur. Our show did the Wilbur, and there was this weird thing where he was supposed to perform.
It was our 10th anniversary show, and he was gonna do like a little set at it, and then like with 2 weeks to go. he canceled on us and gave us no explanation. And we were friends with him, so like, this is weird.
We were like, this sucks.
So we're like, all right, well, I don't know what we did. And then we kind of would joke on the air about how he kind of, you know, screwed us over. And then he came in studio after like a year later and sat down and was just like, hey, you remember how you guys, you know, I didn't do the show? And we're like, yeah, you were kind of a dick for leaving us hanging. And he goes, well, it's because I had to go to a clinic for depression. I was like, oh, I feel like an a-hole now.
Yeah.
And that's how he broke the news.
Yeah, and I said, like, oh, sorry, I was a dick.
Yeah.
But
so funny. You're just bagging on him. You're like, this guy doesn't show up. And you're like, he's like, yeah, I lost my mind.
Yeah, crippling depression. I was having electroshock therapy at the time.
Dude, that's so funny that you guys are like, and this guy can't show up to the Wilbur. He's got to put in a rubber mouthpiece and be like.
That was the crazy. Well,
like, oh, yeah, talk about a lack of empathy.
Yeah, exactly. That's the part of that special where you're like, Jesus, like that
special's phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean, he's one of the greatest comedians, I think, of all time. And like a true, I don't think you ever say this about comedians because we don't try to take ourselves too seriously, but you can say it about another comedian.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a craftsman. Like,
he
builds these jokes. He's one of my favorite jokes about being a poor Jewish kid who wanted to play ice hockey. Growing up in Massachusetts, it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life.
Mm-hmm. So
the line, you have a better chance to be the savior than in the NHL, is like, it's unbelievable. I mean, he's just like, he's one of those guys where you watch in New York City and you're like, well, I got to go back to work.
Right.
Sure.
Suck. So the thing is that the last time he was in here, he came in before he did like the Wilbur all those nights. And it became obvious, like, this is the last time we're going to see you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Honestly, I like your guys' show. And there was a moment last night where I was like, do I have to do press? The shows are sold out?
Yeah. Like, do I really have to do this?
You know, it's something that I heard Chris Rock say like 10 years ago, where he's like, I wanted to get to a point in my career where I sold enough tickets where I didn't have to do morning press.
Oh,
and
sure.
It's like, oh, yeah, that I never thought that would be a possibility.
Right.
Like, oh, no, you wake up every morning. This is awesome. Like, I love coming into a good show.
Right, right.
You don't always get to go in on a good show.
But you've had some bad experiences.
I've had some very bad experiences. And you go in and you're like, dude, I don't want to do this. Why are we here? And they're like, because you get some DJs that are like, I don't know. We got Dan Soder. He's going to be at the Chuckle Palace. You can see him. What is it? Thursday. What are you on? You're on MTV. You're like, I hate you. Why am I here? I don't want to do this. We're not having a conversation. You're not looking at me. He's like, hey, what's up? It's the bad boy at Tuscaloosa. Coming up, we're going to let you know about a new seasoning you could use on your chicken. Dan Soder also here at tickets. When I get two away, he's not selling any. He's a failure.
Well, I have the worst. I have the most cringy, douchey thing that I've done is it was like I had done night radio and I'd like just made fun of bands the whole time.
Sure.
And like to their faces and all this stuff. Oh, I hate saying this. And oh, God, dude.
It was like
my first time interviewing a comic.
Yeah.
And it was like I was on the air with Axl, who had never done it either.
Yeah.
And so we're like, Jeff Garlin was on.
Okay.
And we're like, hey, so Jeff, like, what do you talk about in your act? Like, you can do something from your act?
Oh, comedians love that.
Dude, I just had to look away from you. I had to look away from you.
And he goes, he was really nice, but he goes, never. I'm going to I'm just going to give you a piece of advice. Never, ever do that again.
You know what? That is great advice. And not everyone knows that. One time I did a morning show and I forget which city it was. And I walked in and, you know, I'm like, this will be great. We'll just have a conversation. This will be fun.
Yeah.
Guy comes back on the radio and he's like, hey, he's recently off his performance on Conan. It's Dan Soder. And then he just plays the Conan set. And I'm just, it's me and this dude in a room.
And how do I follow that up?
And he's not laughing because it's on the radio. So he's just staring at me while my Conan set plays. I had to take my headset off, close it so I didn't hear it coming through. And I just looked at him and I was like, just don't do that. Don't make me listen to my own comedy.
Right. Yeah.
Because all I'm hearing is the holes in the jokes. I'm just hearing punchline was weak.
Yeah, you're beating yourself up.
Yeah,
about
I'm like,
the whole situation.
Man, I didn't lean into that. I didn't lean into that tag.
Yeah.
And he's just like, all right, Dan Soder's going to be five shows. And he's like, fine. How are we doing this? Stop punishing me.
Yeah, but I mean, because I always give you guys credit because, I mean, there'll be people that comics, we don't have a lot of first of all, having comics on the phone sucks.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because also you do the thing where they'll go to make a joke and you're talking and then they go, You go. There you go.
You're stepping on everything.
I was just saying that Jimmy Garoppolo's hands. Yeah. Okay. You want to go?
Yeah. Like you can't. Like you can't. And so, but like dudes that will just like, because we're in Boston, dudes that will like drive themselves up like in the middle of the night and just come to the show. It's like,
it's crazy.
Like the hell of a work ethic, dude.
I mean, yeah. Also, though, it's like one of the greatest jobs. And so it's like, I always say, whatever industry you're in, you have to eat a little bit of poop.
Sure.
You know, you got to eat a little bit of poop at every job. I've seen Paul Giamatti, you know, like on Billions. I'll see him. Like, he doesn't want to wake up at 4:30 in the morning to shoot this scene outside when it's 20 degrees.
But
he's Paul Giamatti, and he's the lead of a major show, and you got to eat a little bit of poop.
Yep.
Most jobs, you have to eat a whole plate of it. But in comedy, you get in, and you just kind of, like, got to learn how. I tell young comics that, like, learn how to get used to eating crap.
How long did it take you to get past the Cellar?
I moved to New York in 2007. The Cellar was the last club that I wanted. You know, it's like, that was like the final boss. 2011. So it took me about 4 years.
Oh, cool.
4 years of working every night.
What do you remember about that night?
Dude, I remember it very well. I was Bobby Kelly's opener on the road. You know, Bobby's like my older brother. He's a guy I just love. Boston legend. Just a comedy legend.
He killed, by the way.
Hammer.
He
said that to me one time, unironically, and he wasn't lying. When I was on the road with him, he got off stage. I was like, Bobby, that was the hardest I've ever seen anyone kill. And he goes, he just sits down in a chair. He goes, I'm a hammer. Like that. And I was like, yeah, no, you absolutely are a hammer. That is a great way to say it. But Bobby, I was opening for Bobby, and we were on the road somewhere. And he's like, yeah, you know, I told Esty about you, dummy. So, does that make you happy that I told Esty about you? You know, the booker of the Comedy Cellar.
Right.
I was like, what did you tell her? And he's like, I don't know. And then there was a Friday night where I didn't have any spots. I didn't get booked at a and I looked up the Cellar lineup online, and Bobby was there. And I called Bobby, and I was like, hey, can I come by the Cellar and hang out? Because I never hung out there. A lot of guys, a lot of young comics like to hang out there. And I was like, I would avoid it. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't go there because I was just like, I don't deserve to be among the people like Colin Quinn and Jim Norton.
Right.
Greg Giraldo at the time. Yeah, there was like a lot of people where I was just like, I don't feel comfortable being at the Comedy Cellar. So finally I asked Bobby, I'm like, are you going to be there? And he's like, yeah. And I showed up, and it was Bobby and Keith Robinson.
Yeah.
I was wearing a leather jacket, and I walked in, and Keith Robinson goes, I don't like him. I don't like your friend and his Nick DiPaolo starter kit. And I remember I sat down, and him and Bobby were just, you know, just really wrecking me. There's like, look, why are you nervous? What are you doing? And Esty sat down at the table, and she was like, Bobby tells me you are funny. And I was like, I try to be. And she was like, well, let's see tonight. Can you go up at 11:45 following Kyle Grooms? And it was like maybe 8 o'clock.
Oh,
and
Jesus.
I was like, yeah, totally. I would love to do that. There was a comedy club that is now a JG and Mellon, but it used to be called a comedy club called CB's on Bleecker and McDougal, and Big J was there. And Big J is like another one of my older brothers. I have a couple older brothers in comedy that I've always just like gone to for advice, and you know, now I get to do the bonfire with Big J on Sirius.
Right.
But I went to CB's and I talked to Jay, and I just drank a bunch of Bud Lights, and I just like sat there, and Jay's like, hey, just do your set, you know, just like do your 5 minutes from Montreal. And, you know, I just did Just for Laughs. So I had like a 6 minute set. Mm-hmm. He's like, just do that set. And I'm like, but it's the Cellar. And I never got on stage there. And there's a piano. And how do you get on stage? And there's like, cause you know, there's like a tight space you have to walk
it's
through.
It's real small.
It's very small. And, yeah, and then I showed back up, and Esty was like, I'm going to watch you. And I was like, okay. And I knew Kyle. Kyle's a fantastic comedian. And I was nervous about following him. And I just remember, I don't really remember it. It was kind of like my first Conan. You just go up, and it was just like muscle memory. And I started doing the jokes, and the crowd was laughing. And I got off stage, and Esty was like handing me an index card. And she's like, put your information. I take avails on this day. Call in your avails. It was when you used to, it was before, you know, before you email them in, you'd call an answering machine and leave your avails for the week. And I remember I was like dating this girl who was a lawyer, and we were supposed to hang out that night. We were supposed to go on a date. I was like, oh, you can't go on a date. I'm auditioning at the Comedy Cellar.
Yeah.
And she was around the corner at a bar, and I just came in, and I was like, I passed the Comedy Cellar. And she was like, oh, okay. And I was like, no, you don't understand. And she's like, I really don't.
I don't need you anymore.
Yeah, you're nothing to me.
I made it, baby.
And that woman was Elizabeth Warren. It was crazy, and it was like one of those things where one of the coolest moments of my life, because I grew up a massive Tough Crowd fan.
Yeah.
I'm a big Colin Quinn fan. I loved Opie and Anthony. It's how I learned about Bill Burr and Patrice and a lot of these guys that I idolize. And one time I'm watching, I forget who said I was watching. I think it might have been Greer Barnes. And Jim Norton comes down and he's like, hey, come here. And I'm like, what's up? I think I'm in there maybe 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And he's like, come upstairs. Come on, we want to talk to you. And it's Jim Norton, Colin Quinn, Keith Robinson, and a couple other people. And I sit down at the table, and I'm like, am I in trouble? And they're like, Bobby Kelly bullies you, doesn't he? And I'm like, no, he's really nice to me. Keith was like, tell us, does he bully you? And I'm like, I don't know. And Colin's like, you know, this is a safe space. You can tell us if Bobby Kelly bullies you. And I'm like, no. And Jim Norton's like, he's never bullied you. I'm like, well, you know, like once or twice on the road, he's like yelled at me. And they're like, and then as I say, I'm not joking. As I say that, Bobby Kelly walks in the cellar and Keith goes, Dan's over here telling us how you bully him. I'm like, no, I didn't. And Bobby's like, I'm not a bully, dude.
Rich, should I share with him the story I share with every comic when they bring him up?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Sure.
So I did, I'm fairly close to Anthony and Jim. Tangentially. And I did the Chip Chipperson podcast.
Great.
But I did it on stage.
Okay. The live one. Live Chip.
Didn't go well.
No?
They just killed Fred.
I mean, dude, they're go well. Really? They just came, what? Who, just Chip? And
you called him Jim on stage. I called him Jim, and you're not accident. Supposed to do that.
That's the number one no-no.
It was early on, right? Too, so you lost him from there on.
No, Jim and Anthony were great. Like, no, they thought it went great.
Yeah.
Like, Jim said, come on again. But I was sitting there like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
I have no idea what's going on.
It's weird because you don't know how to handle it, and then you're like, oh, you just let him go. And you're like, okay, I think I kind of understand this.
Yeah. Well, it's hard when you're in front of a crowd. And I'm just like, oh, I can't do this.
Yeah, because you feel like you're bombing, but then you're like, I'm supposed to bomb?
Yeah, exactly.
What the hell is this?
It's
like being part of a jazz band when you're normally in like a hair metal group.
Exactly.
Where you're like, usually it's like, come on, how you feeling? And then now you're like,
He's like, oh, you look uncomfortable, man.
Yeah, I kind of am.
All right, Dan Soder, he's got extra shows on Sunday. Laugh Boston, go to laughboston.com right now to buy tickets. Thanks so much for coming by, man.
Hey, man, thanks for having me.
Appreciate it, Dan. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, and go Niners.
All right, we will be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.